Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into
the home team.
And here we go.
All right, kicking into hour number two. It's the home team. Chris Brame, Tyler Head with you till 6:45 tonight. We'll break a few minutes early. Lady Dogs back in action. Conference play is here. They'll host LSU. We'll dive right into today's very important 5-5, which is brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Tyler, you may fire when ready.
Aren't all 5-5s the most important, though?
Today feels like just has added importance for some reason.
Sure. Well, football season may be over UGA, but that doesn't mean we get to stop talking about it.
No, of course not.
An assessment of the overall season. Who were your surprise players this year? Guys that really stood out to you that maybe you didn't expect much out of.
Elijah Holyfield would be one. Who really just proved to be a formidable elite running back, and really, right. I mean, picked up a lot of slack when, as it turned out, DeAndre Swift was not 100% at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
He would be one. I mean, Jordan Davis, I think, had a big impact once he started playing in that last month of the season,
right?
And ended up working his way there in a starter. And I think, you know, I really contributed a lot to Georgia cleaning up its run defense, which had struggled for a good bit during the season, but was able to really lock down Benny Snell when they got to that important game against Kentucky. So he'd be a guy defensively. But, I mean, a couple of other guys, like Channing Tindall, Trey Crowder out of the defense. You know, Walker was a big-time player at linebacker, but those two guys stood out to me in those spots as well. But offensively, yeah, I'd probably say, you know, Holyfield. I mean, so many other guys that just you expected were going to be. You know, another guy I'd give a lot of credit to, because you had to pick up from, I mean, Javon Wims was a huge loss from last year's team, but Holloman,
yeah,
I'd throw him in there too.
And Wims was kind of the surprise to everybody last year.
Last year, yeah.
So,
but when you looked, if you went back to last season and looked at, I mean, some of Jake Fromm's spray charts.
Yeah.
And when you looked at his completion percentage to the left side of the field in, like, you know, middle and deep versus the right side of the field, you realize, like, well, the receiver on that left side was Javon Wims. It was, like, a pretty huge gap between between left and right and that one side for Fromm. And that was just that was a reliable target that Fromm leaned on a lot, especially, you know, that back shoulder fade there on the sideline. And Holloman, I think, really, I mean, picked up there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he had a pretty rough game the other night, too.
Yeah, I mean, but Swift had a rough game the other night.
It was a collective effort, everybody not having a good game.
Yeah, I mean, Fromm wasn't good the other night, and
he nailed Holloman in the hands a couple times, and it just went right through.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a pitiful effort, but I don't, everyone needs to just relax, though, and take a deep breath. And realize, I mean, this is peak Georgia football fan experience that we're the ride that we're on right now. And I'm just, if you can't enjoy it, then you need to get off, because it can't get any better than it is right now.
Right. Well,
we're
a national championship. Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's only one more step that Georgia can take. There's like this one hurdle that it hasn't been able to get over, and it's been close, but it hasn't. I mean, the two games against Alabama last year, but I don't see how any of us could sit here and think that right now Alabama is miles ahead of Georgia and we've got a lot of ground to make up. As devastating as those two losses were last year, I sit here, I mean, head held high, realizing that right now Georgia's every bit Alabama's equal.
Yeah.
And that loss the other night does not change that for one second. So just take a deep breath. This team's not at a crossroads. It doesn't have some leadership problem. It was a game that you could tell by the crowd in the stadium, Texas wanted more, and that's how it goes. When your season starts with a loss to Maryland, then you're going to be really fired up if it ends in the Sugar Bowl.
This is a game that nobody's going to care about. What was season start? August 31st. As soon as games kick off August 31st.
No, and we go to Vanderbilt and we kick their butts. And then I think whoever we play after that, it's like Murray State and Arkansas State.
Yeah, and then okay. They get Notre Dame.
And then Notre Dame's going to come here. And I guarantee you, right, Georgia is going to demolish them. Because as upsetting as it was, and I agree with that point. I mean, if you're going to talk the talk, then you got to walk the walk. And Georgia didn't back it up. They were mouthy over the weekend. Those guys went on Twitter.com. And then they just laid an egg Tuesday night. So they've opened themselves up to criticism, and now they've got to own it and take it, and that's fair. But what that also told me, though, is those guys, they don't get to play Oklahoma next year in the regular season, but they hold Notre Dame responsible for taking their playoff spot, whether deserved it or not. But Georgia believes they should have been in it. And they watched Notre Dame lose to Clemson. What is it, 30-3? Is that what the final ended up being?
Correct.
And they are going to take those frustrations out on the Irish next year.
They will be ready.
Yeah. For as much as the team lacked focus on Tuesday, they will not, September, whatever that date is, that Notre Dame comes here.
Right. I've never heard anybody refer to it as Twitter.com before. That's a first.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is, a website, right?
More of an app, I guess. I mean, you can go to the website.
Yeah, I'm Twitter.com.
People are more use the app more than anything
else. Yeah, I know.
Anyway, moving on. So again, Monday's game, or Tuesday's game, the new year always throws the dates off. January 1st, the Sugar Bowl, was seen as obviously kind of a consolation game. So in a lot of people's mind, it seemed like the perfect opportunity to break out the black jerseys again, which, of course, we wore in the 08 Sugar Bowl and beat Hawaii, and we saw them against UL Monroe 2 years ago to, I guess, get the curse out of them. We haven't seen them since. People are like, all right, return to the Sugar Bowl. It's a meaningless game. If we lose, whatever. People kind of expected them to maybe wear the black uniforms. The coaches were dressed in all black, but of course, we ended up wearing the traditional reds. Have we seen the black jerseys for the final time?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, there's enough talk about it from here or there that I think maybe at some point when the time is right, they'll break back out.
Because you had a lot of opportunities this year where you could have used them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't necessarily have to be a big game thing anymore. You know, we saw what happened when we did that against Alabama in 08. But, you know, even just a game like against Tech or something, you're pretty confident you're going to win. People are like, well, why don't they wear them then?
Yeah. I mean, if they do it, do it. Announce you're going to do it. Tell people.
It doesn't have to be this super special thing.
Where it's like a mystery. Yeah. You've got to. Because that worked that one time, that Auburn game.
And you're never going to recapture that magic.
Right.
That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah. Now, you know, that was organic. It had happened, and it was just a beautiful moment. One of the great nights at Sanford Stadium, but if in the future you like wearing the black jerseys, they look good, it is one of Georgia's colors, that's fine. But, I mean, don't make it like a big deal or a mystery.
Because, I mean, the recruits love posting pictures wearing the black jerseys, and they have them displayed all around when they're on their official visits and stuff. It just seems kind of odd that, you know, it's not at least in the regular rotation. You would think they would have had it where they wear it at least once a year or something.
Well, maybe the black jerseys might have served some purpose Tuesday. Maybe it would have been some of that fake juice that they could have been a little more inspired.
But also, if we would have gone out there Tuesday and played the same way while wearing the black jerseys, we probably would have never seen them again.
Then they might have been retired.
Then that would have been it. Yeah. Like, okay, well, they're definitely cursed now.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of them. And, you know,
I don't have anything against them. I mean, Georgia doesn't need to wear those silver helmets anymore like they wore that one game.
When we were the Power Rangers playing the Stormtroopers.
Yeah, or then the black helmets from that 09 Florida game. But if you want to like break out, black jerseys.
If we would have had white face masks as opposed to the red ones, it wouldn't have looked as bad. I will say that.
With the 09 Florida game?
Yeah, if the face masks were red, we looked like a high school team. If they had a white face mask, it would have looked better.
Yeah. But You want to wear the black tops? I'm cool with that.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be a huge thing.
Don't make it like a big secret. Yeah. Like, oh, is it going to happen or is it not going to happen?
If you want to wear them against Vanderbilt,
yeah,
do it.
Just do it and then get it over. And then not have to be like a focus of the whole week.
You know. But we'll see what happens. All right. So now that all the bowl games, with the exception of the national championship, have concluded, what five teams made the biggest statement this bowl season? A lot of blowouts this bowl season.
How about Army?
Yes.
Well, in good and bad ways.
How about three good, three bad?
All right. Well, the worst was Houston. You want to talk about a team that just completely laid down and quit?
True.
And they ended up firing Major Applewhite and hired Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah, it's weird how your defense doesn't play good when you don't have your first round draft pick out there.
Yeah, and I mean, and that ended and kind of ugly too in that last game that they played where Applewhite was yelling, or I mean Ed Oliver ended up yelling at Major Applewhite because Applewhite told him to take some jacket off because the jacket was only for active players. I'm going to say this, like teams that made statements or at least think they made a statement, because I think Auburn is certainly one that I'd have to put on that list with, you had Gus calling the shots again on offense, and they go out and they set a bowl record for first half points. They end up with 63 against Purdue. They were very impressive.
They could have scored a lot more.
But, here's Auburn coming off a season where they started preseason top 10 and ended up in the Music City Bowl. That if that's now something that's going to heighten their expectations for next season, if I was an Auburn fan, I would always be troubled by Auburn with expectations because they generally, it feels like they don't live up to them. Like they are better served just kind of laying low.
Right.
So if there's a lot of like hype now, like look at that offense, Gus took over the play calling duties. If that's what it's going to look like, then look out for Auburn. I think they might be in trouble based on that. But so I think, they definitely, I mean, you'd have to say they made a statement, though, based on that. And they certainly feel like they did. I don't know if they have, but they've got to feel that way. The Gators have to feel good, too.
Yeah.
Michigan, though, they were playing
pretty bad.
Yeah. But, I mean, Michigan was the opponent that didn't want to be there.
And
Florida benefited
from it. Had a lot of guys choosing to sit out of that
right.
one.
Yeah, so all right, let's go. Auburn, Florida is two from the SEC. Boy, there were ugly bowl games this year. A lot of them.
I'd say a team that made a good statement despite losing was Vanderbilt. They took on Baylor in the Texas Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I would say Baylor in there was to have been had a one-win season, just a mess left by Art Briles, what Matt Rhule was able to do there. And, it's the it's funny about, you think about these Big 12 coaches and the NFL. I mean, Lincoln Riley was where all the attention was.
Right.
And he's not going because I know Oklahoma just paid him a bunch of money to stay there. But Matt Rhule is one Baylor ought to worry about when it comes to jumping ship to the NFL.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Kentucky had a nice win to beat Penn State, but I don't know how much of a statement was made there because they're going to be bad next year because Benny Snell and Josh Allen are leaving.
Yeah,
they're not reloading, right?
Right. I'd give TCU and Cal both in the bad statements. That Cheez-It Bowl was pretty horrendous.
Well, how about who made a statement too? But in the statement was, I made a good decision to come back to school. It was Justin Herbert.
Yes.
Now, Oregon beat Michigan State. The final was 7-6, and Oregon didn't even cross Sparty's 40 until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That was an ugly game. Miami was pitiful too, and Coach Rick ended up quitting.
Right.
Manny Diaz is back there, but that was a bad look with the Canes.
Right.
Getting blown out by Wisconsin.
But
Alabama made a statement.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, we expected that.
What about, did Texas make a statement to you? Is Texas back?
I'm not going to say back because we've seen this movie before. If they put together another good season next year, I might give them the we're back.
Yeah.
But my feelings are similar to Tom Herman's, as in, let's see what happens.
Like, is 10-4, is that even, that's not a bad season. It's not a great season either. It's a good season.
It's a good season, but you also really lost to all the best teams you played. I mean, yeah, you got the one against Oklahoma, and they ended up beating you back in the Big 12 championship. So what are the other two losses? Was it Oklahoma State and West Virginia?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the other, key opponents you had, you couldn't beat.
Yeah. The West Virginia game was, it came down. West Virginia went for two and made it. So they won in the end. They lost to Okie State by a field goal. I mean, the weird one was they opened up and got beaten pretty handily by Maryland.
Yeah, and you just thought they were in for a horrible season. You know, definitely turned into a pretty solid and respectable one. I'm not going to give them the we're back yet.
Yeah. Well, Ellinger thinks they are.
They're not far off, say that.
They're getting there. Yeah. They got week two. They host LSU next year, though. So circle that. And that's, I like it. They're hosting LSU.
Yeah.
So that's a home and home series.
And then, you know, heck, Justin Fields may be playing for Oklahoma the next time they see him. So we'll see what happens there.
He might want to think about doing that, because if he really is going to Ohio State, Tate Martell is not.
He's not backing down.
No. I mean, that guy is not rolling out the red carpet.
No, he is not. Well, I mean he's sat behind some really, really good talent, and here comes his opportunity, and the last thing he wants to hear is, you know, this transfer is going to come in and steal all the glory.
Well, I mean, that's flat out where he's making it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If you're like Ryan Day now, I mean, if you're Ryan Day and you know this is all worked out and like Fields wants to come there and he's going to come there.
Right.
I mean, then you've got to go to Martell and tell him like you got to pipe down, because this is like borderline when he gets here. It's going to be uncomfortable between the two of you.
You don't want a toxic quarterback room.
No. I mean, you guys are going to be basically, you're going to be in meetings together. I'm sure there'll be like roommates on the road being quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But it's like. So with Fields, it's almost like, do I want to go there? This guy like hates me for some reason.
Yeah, hates you without even knowing you. All right, moving on to the 5-5. Obviously, Atlanta gets to host the Super Bowl this year. The Falcons will not be playing in it. We can confirm
that. Right, they had a season-ending press conference already today.
Yeah, and some interesting things there. Obviously, they cleaned house on Monday. But again, Atlanta's hosting the Super Bowl. What matchup does the Chamber of Commerce want the most?
Well, based on their Monday night football game, Chiefs and Rams.
You wouldn't say New England-Dallas?
Oh, well, yeah. You're talking about Chamber of Commerce is in...
I'm talking money here.
Like Sheriff Goodell?
Hotels, restaurants.
Yes, they want Dallas.
Who's going to bring the money?
They want Dallas.
Now, I agree. L.A. and Kansas City would probably be the more fun game and could be, you know, a second installment we saw on Monday night, but... Man, you want to talk about not even wanting to go to Atlanta for that week if New England and Dallas come in?
Yeah, no,
those two fan bases.
Absolutely, and just it's Brady and Belichick, and then the Cowboys. Yeah, right.
That'd be a tough Super Bowl to watch.
No kidding. That would be the dream matchup But it's from just a generic fan and the entertainment value. I mean, I'll take part two of the Chiefs and the Rams.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, that has the potential of, you know, the 42-38. I think, you know, if the Patriots and Cowboys play, you're looking at maybe a 21-17 type game.
And we've got, you know, we got Gurley.
Yeah.
So from the Rams angle, I guess you got Justin Houston.
No, I'm definitely
Kansas City.
I'm definitely latching onto the Rams for the playoffs.
That's your team?
That's my team for the playoffs.
I think in the NFC?
In the NFC.
Yeah, for sure. In the AFC. Well, you know what? At the beginning of the year, I said the Chargers and Rams are going to be in the Super Bowl. So in the interest of I would like to be right about that, I guess I'm going to root for the Chargers in the AFC.
So we have the potential of two Southeastern teams playing a national championship in California, two California teams playing the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Yes, makes perfect sense.
How beautiful would that be?
So I guess I'm gonna root for the Rams and Chargers, since that was my preseason Super Bowl pick. Why not?
We know Jeff's going to be pulling for the Texans.
He picked them.
Boldly picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and after 3 weeks, that didn't look like such a good pick, but they've stormed back strong.
Here's the game that for America that's sick of the Patriots, then... We've fingers crossed that next Saturday or next weekend, whenever they play, the Chiefs don't perform their annual first round exit in the AFC. Because if they do, then New England is going to host the AFC championship game again. So you know, the best case scenario is at least those guys are going to have to go on the road for the AFC title game.
Right.
But Kansas City's got to win. And I mean, they're going to end up playing... They'll end up playing either the Ravens or Chargers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's far from a lock because the Patriots are going to get to host. I guess, how would it work? Because I know they reseed.
Patriots would face the lowest seed. Wait, no, no.
No, the Chiefs would.
Chiefs would, because they're the number one seed. The Patriots face the highest seed that's still left.
Okay, so the Patriots... Well, so basically, Kansas City needs Indy to win.
Yes.
So they would host Indy, and then the Chargers or Ravens would go to New England. If Houston wins, then Houston goes to New England, yes. And then the Chiefs have to host. So Kansas City wants Indy to win.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Patriots haven't been their dominant selves this year.
Well, but no, but on the road.
Yeah.
At home, I mean, they're still not their dominant self, but
going into Gillette's not easy.
Right. It's on the road where they've taken their hits.
True.
Because they beat Kansas City and Houston at home this season.
Yeah. All right, wrapping up the 5-5, you know, I always got to throw a trivia question out there. And Georgia, its football program, has two claimed national titles in 1942 and 1980. We also have three unclaimed national titles. Do you know what years those came in?
Well, one of them was like in 68, right?
1968, they won the Sugar Bowl. They had two ties, though.
Yeah.
And they were only voted number one in one poll, the Litkenhouse poll.
Right. Then there was like 48.
46.
46.
The Williamson system selected them. They went 11-0 and won the Sugar Bowl against North Carolina. But I believe Notre Dame was viewed as the unanimous champion that year.
So I'm missing one?
Missing one.
There was another one in like the 20s, wasn't there?
Correct.
Yeah.
1927. They didn't go to a bowl game. They went 9-1. They had a win against who was then a powerhouse, Yale. But they were only recognized in three polls, which was not enough to get them a unanimous national championship.
Yeah. So, yeah, those three are... Now, if we were like Auburn or Bama, we would just cheesily claim those.
Well, that's the thing is, like, a lot of people, you know, Bama's got their, was it 16 now?
Yeah, but they don't.
But you nitpick some of those old ones, like, okay, well, this one obscure poll gave you number one, but then, like, this team over here has 10 polls calling them number one.
Right.
You know, that's kind of cheap.
That's why I like Georgia. Georgia claims to.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Outright, unanimous national championship.
But Bama would claim that one with the Lichtenhouse.
Oh, without a doubt. And what was it? Oklahoma State a couple years ago was awarded a championship from like 50 years ago.
Well, Auburn went back and did that.
Yeah, they did that, too.
Just to try to catch up with what with what Alabama's done.
So when people throw that 16 national championships in your face, let's break that down a little bit.
Yeah. My favorite thing about Auburn is they want to claim they're in 93 when they were undefeated, but they were on probation. They want to claim that, but they also want to claim 04.
Right, when they got gypped from being undefeated.
And USC's now on probation and had to vacate it.
Yeah.
So they want to claim one from when they were on probation, but also want to claim another because some other school went on probation, which is absolutely the most Auburn thing ever.
It is. So I like the fact that we have the integrity to claim the real ones.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be another real one soon. But
I hope so.
According to Tim Worley, we're at a crossroads right now. I just hope Kirby chooses the right path. Because this team's come to a crossroads all of a sudden.
So does Kirby have to make like a deal with the devil now or something?
He's got to pick the right path because we've come to the crossroads of the program. Peak Georgia football is about to start rolling back downhill. Evidently,
because
they laid an egg.
Played for the national championship a year ago, and now it's all downhill from here.
Laid an egg in that exhibition the other night.
Oh no!
Didn't beat Texas. The crossroads have arrived.
Shame.
Yeah. I'm just get off. If you're not enjoying this ride, you might as well jump off because you're not ever going to be happy.
Jump off the train right now.
I've said it before. The first time I said it was in the wake of us pounding Missouri last year when I was listening to Jeff and Kevin Butler that post game, and somebody called up and was just complaining about stuff during the game. Like we had almost set a school record for total offense.
Yeah.
You know, blew them out and to go whatever we were at the time, 6-0.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to this guy carry on. You know what? If you're not enjoying this season right now, Georgia football will never make you happy.
Right.
So your only option is to stop watching.
And there's nothing wrong with being critical, but being miserable about being successful is another thing.
After just you're blowing out Missouri to go to whatever an O we were at the time.
Right.
And now we didn't win the other night, and it was a dreadful, pitiful, pitiful performance. But it was another great season, which followed a great season. Things have not been this good here since the early 80s. And if you're not happy right now, then you might as well just, you got to get off the bus.
I'm having the time of my life as a Georgia fan because I've never seen it any better.
No, it's a blast.
So,
I mean, we beat Paul Johnson into submission. He surrendered.
We've beaten a couple coaches into submission.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess it turned out to be our last victory of the year.
Yeah.
Was a pretty sweet one because Paul Johnson just went, you know what, I've had enough, hey, and I'm out.
Coached against the triple option enough, you won't have to coach against it anymore.
Yeah. That was a bad surprise that Jeff Collins decided to still take that job after watching them in the quick lane bowl. All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.